and now keeping our meditative state. Let us now study the astral plane, the astral body. Our previous studies have covered all that we need to know about the etheric body, the etheric plane, and prana in the vitality, the diseases of the etheric plane. So this year we will focus on the astral, on the astral body, and the diseases that emanate from that plane. So we do have an astral or a sentient or an emotional body, and no one is exempt from recording all the emotions or the reactions of that body, and no one is exempt from vibrating between the two poles of happiness or misery, satisfaction or non-satisfaction, assurance or doubt, or courage or fear. We all experience these two poles. What that really means is that the inherent force and life of this emotional sentient vehicle governs, therefore, the life expression and molds the experience of our incarnated soul. Because we are immersed in it, we're surrounded with it. So therefore, it is of great value for us to understand something of what these forces are all about, where they come from, how they act and react on the man. There lies our battleground, but also lies our field of victory. DK tells us that 90% of diseases stem from the etheric body and the astral body. 90% of diseases stem from these two bodies, but the astral body is for the majority of mankind the major determining factor, and it is the outstanding cause of sickness and disease. Why is that so? Because at present, the human race is still astrally polarized, which means that the emotional sentient nature is all powerful in the masses, and therefore it has a potent and predisposing effect upon the etheric body. And as you know, the stream which is the most potent is the one which will control the action of the physical body upon the physical plane. Even though we can see in DK's books that he has illustrated the planes as a series of layers. But that was only for clarity, right? If everything was all put together, it would have been a complete mesh. So therefore, that's why DK separated it so that it's clearer in our mind to see the various planes. So let's not forget that a plane is essentially a state of consciousness. It's not a locality. It's not as if the astral plane is right above us. Okay? It is a state of consciousness. So it is a state of consciousness of desire in particular, of feeling, of sensation, of sentiency, of moods, longings, and appetites. And for us to have a very clear idea of that, Let's just take a simple example. Let's say we pick a flower. So the example of us functioning on the physical plane would be the very simple act of picking the flower. But the example of functioning on the emotional plane would be the experience of a subjective emotional reaction, whether it's negative or positive, such as either feeling guilty for picking the flower or experiencing that sense of beauty or awe or admiration or wonder as we pick the flower. And an example of functioning on the mental plane is the act of objective examining or observing the flower in terms of color, structure, shape, function, etc. So one on the mental plane, objective, and astral plane, subjective. Now, we are not the only species to be enmeshed in the astral plane. The planetary logos, when he expressed this desire to manifest, he created the planet Earth out of desire. And thus, he invoked or brought to himself the substance or attracted to himself the needed material to create the world, or rather our planet. Now we see that the solar logos has also created the solar system, which is a product of his desire. So our solar system is called the sun of desire or of necessity. Now let's go deeper. Our solar system is part of the body of the one about whom naught may be said, the cosmic logos, which is made up of seven solar systems, of which ours is the heart center or the heart. So this greater whole formed of seven parts or seven solar system, his seven chakras, is itself immersed in the waters of space, is itself born of desire, and therefore this greater whole is a child of necessity as well. So therefore, streaming into our solar system from all sides are these force currents emanating from the cosmic logos. And these currents embody his will, his desire, he expresses his love or his attractive capacity, and manifests as this great thought form which we call our system. So you see, it's not just us. Which brings us, therefore, to the nature of the astral plane, or that plane of sentiency, which is above all a meeting ground of forces of desire and a whole range of different types of desire. Individual desire, national desire, racial desire, desire of the humanity as a whole. Then these instinctual desire of all subhuman lives. The Akashic records concerning the emotional history of our past. The activities of discarnate lives who are passing through the astral plane, either out of incarnation or towards incarnation. And then finally, you have the potent desire, purified and intelligent, of all superhuman lives, including those of our planetary hierarchy. So this astral plane of sentiency, the sum total of these forces present in it is stupendous, says DK. Two, it is a plane of illusion. It is a plane of glamour, of distorted presentation of reality. Why should that be so? We have an example on Earth. When light travels through water, which is a denser substance, light slows down, causing it to change direction slightly. So water, being a dense substance, distorts light. Hence, what is seen is distorted, which is an illusion. And speaking of water, water is a symbol of the sixth astral plane, of our emotional nature. And now let's compare the etheric body and the physical body of our logos, and let's compare it with man's etheric and physical body. So we can see here the first four planes are the etheric body of our logos, the plane of Adi, monadic, atmic, and buddhic. But his dense physical body is our mental plane, our astral plane, and our etheric and physical plane. And our so you can see that this astral plane is the liquid substance of his physical body. And what is ours? Our liquid substance, corresponding to this liquid substance of our logos, is the sixth subplane of the etheric and physical plane. So therefore, to our heavenly man, to our logos, astral matter corresponds to this liquid portion of the physical body. So therefore, for him, this is no principle. Incidentally, 70% of our human body is made up of water. And isn't it also a coincidence that more than 70% of Earth is covered also in water? So we'll come back to that later on. So the third point about the nature of that plane is that it is the plane of the pairs of opposites. On one hand, you have the high spiritual longing for that which is real and true. And on the other hand, the ancient desire, glamorous, deceptive, false. So you have good versus evil, right, wrong, pleasure, pain, joy, sorrow, the other, the whole versus me, selflessness versus selfishness, and soul energy versus personality desire. So this astral plane is a dual plane of the pairs of opposites that we as human being, we vibrate constantly between the two. So therefore the conflict between these two opposing forces creates dilemma, bewilderment, and a realization of surrounding glamour, a stage of illusion, and a condition of impotency to the poor struggling consciousness, the Arjuna of the Gita. So in a way, we are all Arjunas because we're all struggling with these pairs of opposites, creating dilemma and bewilderment. And the quality of the astral plane and its major characteristic is glamour. It is the field whereon the great battle of the pairs of opposites must be fought. So if we had to describe the appearance of the astral plane, according to DK, it would have to be one of dense fog. confusion, changing forms, interpenetrating and intermingling colors. And it is of such kaleidoscopic appearance that the hopelessness of the enterprise seems totally overwhelming. It is not light, it is not starry, nor is it clear. It is apparently impenetrable disorder, because it is the meeting ground of forces. So that's why the state of consciousness of those who have passed away is that of semi-consciousness, of a failure to recognize location, and total emotional and mental bewilderment. Especially those who don't know or don't believe in the afterlife. It is a huge advantage if they do know about it and they believe in it. So this is the reason why we send healing light to those who have recently passed in our healing sessions, so that they can become aware that they've passed on and be attracted to the light. But thank God, many people have learned to withdraw from their astral body without being subjected to this impact in the fog. And again, as I said earlier on, it is a symbolic way of describing the consciousness of the man on the astral plane. So then he withdraws onto the mental plane and leaves his astral carcass to swell the fog and increase its density. And eventually, in a few rounds from now, maybe in the fifth round, when the astral body will have settled down and the plane of harmony of the fourth Buddhic plane would have been a much stronger force, then there will be clarity in the astral plane. So the astral plane is the battleground of the soul, the place of victory, and or the place of defeat. It is the Kurukshetra upon which the great choice is made. But it's not just our Kurukshetra, but it is also fought between the pairs of opposite, distinctive of our solar system. So it's what I'm saying here, it's not just here within each person where the battleground is in the astral body, but it is happening also in the solar system. We are told by DK that the Venusian scheme has had its battleground, but the planetary logos of Venus overcame the antagonistic forces. He triumphed over material forms and therefore was consequently in a position when the right time came to apply that needed stimulation to our Earth, so that we can also go through the same experience as Venus. We are in the fourth round, but Venus is way beyond. It is in its fifth round, where we should have been, but there was a delay in our evolution because of the failure of the moon chain. And there are, according to DK, three planetary schemes that are very well aware of pain and sorrow, which are Saturn and Mars and the Earth. But none of them know it so well and feel it so much as does our planetary logos. So it is on the astral plane that the desperate conflict of the imprisoned soul, desperately trying to free itself from the illusion, from the glamours and the pull of that desire body. It's there that this conflict takes place. And this conflict characterizes our planetary life because we are still learning to detach from the form. Now, looking further afield, it's not just on Earth or within every individual man. The evolution of the sun or the soul is of immense importance in the plans of the cosmic logos, the one about whom naught may be said. And the constellations and the other systems are watching the progress of the evolution of the soul within our solar system with great interest. So just as our Earth is regarded as the turning point or the battleground between spirit and matter, is therefore, from that point of view, is of great importance, but our solar system holding a similar place in the cosmic system, therefore it is just as important within our solar system as well. So there, the cosmic man, the solar Arjuna, in other words, the solar logos, together with a planetary logos, our planetary logos, they are both wrestling for their individualized, perfected self-consciousness and wrestling for freedom and liberation from the form, from the not-self. So, therefore, we need to conclude and to bear in mind that all astral energy is part of the astral energy of the solar system. And that, therefore, the sentient body of each human being is an atom in the sentient body of our planetary logos. And the sentient body of our planetary logos is an aspect of the sentient body of the solar logos. And our solar logos, in its turn, his sentient body, is influence or is a channel for sentient forces emanating from vast centers of energy outside our solar system altogether, from constellations, from the other solar systems, the other seven solar systems that form the body of the cosmic logos. And from our study of the etheric body, if you remember, there are astral counterparts to our etheric chakras, if you remember that. Now, I'll quickly go to the next slide. If you remember, how this occurs is through by understanding the structure of each chakra, which is made up of the jewel right in the center at the core of the chakra itself, surrounding itself with a layer of mental matter, then astral matter, then etheric matter. So going back now. So these astral centers, these astral counterparts, are responsible for carrying the energies of these seven solar sacred planets from our solar system and energies from our sun as well, therefore putting us en rapport with all the parts of our solar system. This is how we are in touch with the energies of the solar system. It's through the astral counterparts. What are the colors of the astral plane? As you know, color hides a vibration. Yes? the life, that life force, the jewel, in other words, which knows itself as form, shrouds itself, surrounds itself in vivid red, the red of desire. And through the red, all the longed for forms approach, are grasped and held and used and discarded until that inner part becomes stronger and stronger, right, through the soul aspect, until the red of desire changes to rose, and that rose to the palest pink, and from pink to pure white. Now, I love how DK describes this. Listen to this. Fourth flowers, then the pure white rose of life. Play of words. Right? The rose of life, which is embedded in the astral plane. The tiny rose of living life is seen as bud, not yet the full-blown flower. So maybe in a few rounds, it will happen. So this is why in our healing, we use the color rose and yellow, which DK gave to us healers to use. And these two colors, rose and yellow, are the colors of the astral and the buddhic planes, respectively, so that the energy, the higher vibration of the buddhic plane, superimposing the lower vibration, sort of, in a way, subjugates the lower vibration until it approximates that of the higher. So who are the inhabitants of the astral plane? The astral plane are made up of little lives of living substance. They are the one who give the vitality to desire. And they are called the Agni Suryans. I've drawn up a table for you, but I will only read what's important to us now for our study. On the fifth higher plane are the solar angels. They are the solar lord, the Agni Shvatas, the fallen angels that have fallen from the fourth plane. Right? And then on the fifth lower plane are the lunar lords, the dweller of the threshold. In other words, the lives that make up our personality. And on the sixth astral plane are the lunar lords called Agni Suryans. And on the seventh plane are the lunar lords called the Agni Chaitans. So who are these Agni Suryans? Let's have another good look at who they are. So we've worked out that the sixth astral plane is a liquid aspect of the body of our logos, right? So if we go from right to left, so these Agni Suryans are the actual substance of the astral plane in its seven subplanes, right? They are these animating lives of the elemental essence of the astral plane, or they are the vitality that energizes the desire elementals of all that is sentient, all of these subplanes. They are the vitality that gives all these elementals life. And our desire body, our astral body, is made up of these little lives from the first subplane, second, third, and fourth plane only. Right? Our astral body is not made up of these elementals from the fifth, sixth, and subplanes. Thank God for that, because they are the vilest of these elementals. And all of these Agni Suryans, they make up the sum total of the body or the vehicle of the great Devic Lord Varuna. And who is the Lord Varuna? So we've just worked out that he is the Lord, the Devic Lord of the astral plane. But something very interesting with this Lord Varuna. He has achieved a much more unified conscious control than his brothers on the mental and the physical plane. And that's because he comes into manifestation in connection with one of the heavenly men, one of the Logos, who is the Lord of a major ray. In other words, Ray 2. The other two, who are Lord Agni on the fifth mental plane and Lord Krishti, the Devic Lord of the seventh plane. So these two lords, these two Devic Lords, are linked up with the lords of a minor ray of Ray 5 and Ray 7, whereas Varuna comes in connection with a major ray, or the logos of a major ray of Ray 2. So this is very, very important for us to understand, because here lies the hope for humanity. And we'll get into this a little bit more as we progress with this this information. So there are two groups of devas from this cosmic astral plane that plays through our astral plane. The first plane we've just seen, the first group rather, we've just seen are the substance of that astral plane, viewing them as the sum total of desire, feeling, and sensation. Where are we? They are the nerve centers of the physical body of our Logos. Very important for us to remember that. They are the nerve centers, the nervous system of the physical body of our Logos. And Neptune rules over that astral plane, together with a planetary Logos of the sixth ray. As you know, all the astral plane transmits Ray 6, yes? This is common knowledge. But Neptune and the Lord of the sixth ray, they control the astral chakras, the astral counterparts of our chakras. Now, that statement involves a lot of significance for the macrocosm. The sixth principle, which is the love aspect or buddhi on the fourth plane, and the sixth astral plane are connected. There is an interplay between the buddhic plane, which transmits the sixth principle, buddhi, and the astral plane. These devas on both these planes, buddhic and astral, belong essentially to groups over which Neptune presides. Very, very significant for us, folks. Because what that means is that basically, this is a foolproof system. Neptune rules. And as you know, the negative aspect of Neptune is always confusion, fog, utter emotional and mental bewilderment. But the positive aspect of Neptune is that it spiritualizes everything. It unites everything, just like the oceans of the seas, right? They contain all life. They feed all life on Earth. So it is union which flows through Neptune. So therefore we can see that in the long run, after man has battled through this tumultuous pairs of opposites and has managed to bring down the will to good or the love aspect from the Buddhic plane right down to the astral, the astral will be calm, will be poised, and will become the limpid reflector of the desire of the Logos. Right? Now the astral plane, we can see, is energized by three sources. One, the Buddhic plane, the monadic plane, again, Retu, that's where all our monad originates from, the plane, the monadic plane that transmits Retu, and the cosmic astral. These three energizes, gives life to the astral. Now, we might miss it if we're not careful. Look at these, the last part of that sentence. The astral plane is energized from the Buddhic plane, the monadic plane, the cosmic astral, and thus to the heart of all being. What DK means by that is the heart of our Logos. You see how this is a foolproof system? They know what they're doing. Now, it may not look like this when we see people fighting, there's dissension, there's anger, there's you name it. The world is full of astral, emotional turmoil. It may not seem like this, but this system is gradually developing. Okay, we're only looking at it at one point in time. So if we were the Logos, we would see it a couple of rounds from now. Perfect harmony reigning on Earth. This is where we are heading. No matter what. Because our Logos, both solar and planetary, have got far, far too much to lose to leave the material forces in force, in control. So the love aspect shows itself through the heart, the circulatory system, and the nervous system. Now, from our study of the etheric body, we know that prana flows through the nadis, and the nadis are the etheric nervous system. So that prana that energizes every nerve cell or every cell in the body works through both the blood and the nerves. Because the life force, before I move on to this, the soul is dual, remember? Psychic force or consciousness and its life force. It is dual. So for the life force then uses the blood system, while consciousness or psychic force works through the nervous system. Both, in fact, are so closely related, and in reality, it's not easy for us to differentiate between them. Now, it is said that the blood is life, and also that we are saved by the blood of Christ. That was said in the Bible. But as DK explains to us, it's not the blood of a Christ that died 2,000 years ago, but it's the livingness of the blood of those in whom the soul expresses itself. The Christ life expresses itself and is demonstrating perfectly. Now, the second group of divas, they are the sum total of astral light. They are the agents of the karmic lords. They are divas of incredible advanced evolution. And in their own substance, they record, they produce effects from cause, and they direct the force as well. But they emanate from Sirius. Ray 2. This is the soul of our Logos. So they emanate straight from Sirius. So you see how this is a foolproof system, right? They are energizing. Anything which is worthwhile doing is slow. So to our eyes, this is an incredibly slow process. But the whole duration of the solar system is the evolution of the soul. So we are in progress. The evolution or the strength that the soul gathers and subjugates the physical plane or the etheric plane, the material forces, is in progress, but it is slow. So there is a triangle between Sirius, cosmic astral plane, and our astral plane. There's a direct link. How good is that? Now, as we saw earlier on, the astral plane is energized by these three. So therefore, there is a very close triangle of force between the monadic divas, the buddhic divas, and the astral divas. So if we look here, right, the buddhic divas, the monadic divas, and the astral divas. Very close relationship. And also with the heart center of the particular ray of the heavenly man, which is Neptune, which is ray 2. How it works? is that the greater devas on the monadic plane direct the energies of the manipulating devas on the buddhic plane, and the manipulating devas on the buddhic plane, in due course of evolution, says DK, note the words, work out the plan in objective perfection through the lesser devas of the astral plane. When they have done this, two results will be seen. First, the astral plane will perfectly reflect the buddhic plane. In other words, the astral plane will also be the plane of poised and calm and tranquil, not tumultuous as it is now. And it will reflect the buddhic plane. And secondly, the result of that reflection will be that on the physical plane, it will produce the exact vehicle needed for microcosmic, in other words, men, or the logoic expression through the force of desire. What that really means is that, as we said, as we worked out earlier, the most potent energy has a predisposing effect on the etheric and eventually on the physical plane. So when these devas will have completed their work, then the astral plane will become a lot more predominant, calm, reflecting the will of the Logos, which is essentially love. And therefore, our etheric bodies and eventually will galvanize the physical body into action of love, being an expression, a perfect expression of the desire of love of our Logos, both planetary and solar. And these three groups of devas influence the soul of humanity, being Ray 4, and are the basis for that search for balance, for harmony, for union, for yoga, which distinguishes men in all grades. Now, in its lowest manifestation, it expresses itself as the sex instinct. Sex between, really, sex means the union of polar opposites, of male and female, of the polar opposites. But in its higher expression, it is the longing for union with God. In other words, it is the fusion of the two polar opposites made up of two completely different vibrations of the soul and matter or personality. Now, Lord Neptune, the god of the waters that he's called, as we worked out earlier on, he presides over the devas of the waters, in other words, of the astral plane. Now, their presiding deva lord, Lord Varuna, as we've worked out earlier on, now there's another piece of information, is that this Raja Lord Varuna is actually an emanation of that planet, of planet Neptune. So therefore, there is a direct connection between Neptune, under the law of correspondence, with the sixth astral plane, which is the liquid portion of the logoic physical body, direct relation with the sixth physical subplane, our physical body, and the sixth ray. So is it any wonder then that the bloodstream is governed by Neptune and the nervous system is governed by Venus? As we know, Venus is the esoteric ruler of Gemini. Gemini is the constellation which is the entrance, the portal, the gate of Ray 2 from Sirius into our solar system. And the qualities of Venus are the union of heart and mind. Its qualities, love, wisdom, brotherhood, right human relations, harmonious relations between humans. Now, it is said that the planetary logos of the sixth ray resides on Venus. That's no coincidence, is it? So to conclude, friends, the heart of the sun, in other words, the solar logos, the soul of the logos, using Neptune, the presiding god of the waters, as its agent, its distributing agent, pours his love and wisdom through these three groups of devas, monadic, buddhic, and astral. And through our superimposed triangles of yellow, buddhic, and astral rose. And into the heart center, endeavoring therefore to transmute emotion, desire, into love aspiration, to purify the lower nature, making it more responsive to the higher vibration of the soul, and rendering therefore the emotional or sensitive nature of our patients more responsive to the energies coming from the solar logos. And this therefore concludes our session for today. Next month, we will be looking at the astral body. And then after that, we will be looking at the astral qualities and the diseases that emanate or that stem from that particular body. Now, if you like, you can turn on your microphone if you like, if you want to make any comment or if you've realized something and that you want to share with us. You're very welcome to do so. And I'm sorry, we've started late and I fully understand if some of you need to go.
Gratitude, Nicole. So if there is any question or comments, please, you can use your chat or you can use your hand to, for a request. Hand up your hand.
You know how to unmute yourself, don't you? Click on that little microphone that says mute.
Hello, thank you. Do you listen to me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, thank you so much. It was very, very interesting because I'm a yoga teacher.
Yes.
And a philosopher. So I cross between logos and the heart and the body.
Right.
A lot of knowledge coming from those fields. It was a synthesis for me. Very interesting. Very deep. Thank you.
Thank you, Mariana. Thank you for sharing.
I look forward to learn more about it.
Yes, DK talks a lot about the astral because this is our battleground. So he talks a lot about it. And we can
find a lot of knowledge from yoga, the nadis, the Nagarjuna battle, and the devas. And,
yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else that would like to share?
I'm checking the chat, but not yet any question or comments.
It is a very, very deep subject, friends. DK has got a lot to say about the astral. And for us healers, it is very important for us to understand this state of consciousness. And DK gives us a lot of advice on how to achieve that state of the Buddhic state, in other words, you know. But of course, it takes time. It's not going to happen in one lifetime. You know, we know that. But at least in this lifetime, we make a start.
Britta wrote, thank you, quite a lot to take in. Interesting about Neptune, who also rules epidemics,
yes, and pandemics, yes. Yeah. Right, yes, because of the waters, right? The waters, he presides over all of that. So there is a reason for us to learn from this epidemic, to reorient ourselves towards the higher energies, the higher vibrations of the soul. But unfortunately, it's through suffering. Again, through our nervous system. And humanity needs to suffer, otherwise it doesn't learn. Yeah.
Rita wrote about viruses.
Yeah. That's right. It's actually, according to DK, bacteria, viruses are a little point of life. Okay? And they all swim in this water of life. So there is also Ray 7 there. Interestingly, Neptune is also connected with a base chakra. Hmm. because our system is a Ray 2 system. Right? The waters. The waters of life. I can see all of you are deep in thought. Yes, this topic needs to be pondered upon.
Nicole, I am in Montreal. It's the evening here. We start at 2 a.m. The sun will rise.
Oh, my God. Mariana. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, but it was very interesting to spend the night with you.
But listen, you know that we have two sessions.
Yes, I know, but I didn't succeed the first one.
Oh, right, okay. Well, we'll have to do something about that, won't we?
No, but it's okay. I'm prepared. It's fine. It's very, very quiet in the evening. It's very silent.
Yes.
And our intuition is kind of open. How can we improve this Buddhic aptitudes during the month we are waiting for the next step?
Well, basically, Buddhi is detachment from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because the heart transmits that Ray 4, the life force of the soul. So basically, is we turn to the soul, we incorporate and we try to integrate and live as if we were the soul, reacting towards the situations around us as if we were the soul. So that's the only way that we can bring in the Buddhic energy into our lives. Harmlessness. But we'll discuss all of that in later. We'll go into greater detail. But that's in a nutshell. It's bringing Buddhi, bringing detachment, the heart energy, more into our lives.
Thank you, Nicole, because I am a yoga practitioner, so, you know, practice
everything. Yeah, yes. And as I said earlier on, you know, this transformation of the astral body doesn't occur overnight. I wish it did. I really wish it did.
It's a slow process, eh?
But it's a very, very slow process. So it may take us, I don't know, a couple of lifetimes before that eventually occurs. Now I'm reading from Britta saying to us, and so Neptune, yeah, also with the heart, when the coronavirus started, Neptune was in transit in the middle of Pisces. Which is ruled by Neptune. Yeah. Thank you for that. It adds also to our understanding, doesn't it? To know about Neptune. Well, friends, before I close our session today. I would like to thank all of those of you who have contributed towards the cost of the webinar. Thank you very much. You know who you are. We really appreciate your contributions, because it keeps us going. It keeps us able to bring these webinars to the greater public. And at the moment, the Brazilians, we have a Brazilian group which is being formed. We have, and of course, as you know, Brazil is not a very affluent country. We have Vietnam, a Vietnamese group that has started in July. They are using also that system. We also have the Spanish group in Venezuela, which is using our system as well. And as you know, they've been struggling with poverty for years under their ruthless president. So our webinars then keep us going. So thank you for your contribution. We are very, very grateful.